Alex DeSherbinin is a senior researcher at the Earth Institute at Columbia University. He says climate change and human mismanagement are among the many reasons Lake Chad is drying up. He says temperatures in the area have gone up nearly 2 degrees Celsius since the 1960s.
That's a lot. Lake Chad being a closed basin, that temperature increase is going to essentially evaporate the water perhaps faster than it comes in terms of the rainfall levels. We've also seen some decreases in rainfall in that region. It's already an arid region that borders to the south a semi-arid region, which basically includes Nigeria, Cameroon, parts of Chad itself.
Mismanagement has contributed to the lake's decline in several ways. Many new dams and reservoirs have been built on the tributaries that used to feed Lake Chad, trapping water needed for traditional fishing and farming. The water's retreat has exposed islands that were once reachable only by boat, making them more vulnerable to attack by Boko Haram militants from northern Nigeria.
There are raids that are occurring in those areas. People are being taken captive, and there's been substantial damage to the traditional livelihoods of those communities that lived on the lake. Those factors, I think, have set the stage in part for the migration crisis that has ensued over the last 10 years, roughly.
The organization Climate Refugees, which studies the connection between climate change and security, says the Lake Chad crisis has displaced about 2.4 million people. Executive Director Amali Tower says many have fled Boko Haram over the past decade as the Nigerian government has battled the Islamic militants.
A security response to Boko Haram by the states that are involved in this conflict has been to push Boko Haram from more of the urban into the rural hinterlands. This is not considered to be by the sort of political center to be an important area.
But she says migration in the area began decades before Boko Haram became a threat.
As the lake started to dry up, both for man-made and environmental reasons, they moved along with the path of the lake so that they would have access to water. As fishing started to erode, people started changing their careers to more trade, you know, or as agricultural land became less available, people have resorted to all kinds of different means to survive, all dependent upon the lake.
Tower adds that the Lake Chad area has always been remote and marginalized, but it hasn't always been desperately poor.
A lot of the refugees and IDPs I spoke to, internally displaced persons, spoke of being so wealthy once upon a time. They had all the means with which to not just survive, but to thrive. One refugee leader in a camp in Diffa, Niger, told me, I was able to keep my child in school. You know, there's a lack of schools, so it's important that you're not constantly migrating and following the path of the water if you want to be able to educate your children. So it's incredibly disruptive.
Expert opinion is divided over whether the destruction of Lake Chad's ecosystems can be slowed or reversed. Alex DeSherbinin says that a halt to the fossil fuel emissions that cause global warming would help enormously, but admits that would be a Herculean task that would take required sustained political will.
The other issue is whether you could allow more water to pass through the dams and the sort of irrigation schemes and kind of re-engineer the system, as has been done in some other regions of the world. For instance, in the Senegal River Valley, they created an artificial flood.
Amali Tower says policymakers must realize the extent to which climate change, migration, and security are connected. She also says that far more international aid is needed to help area residents obtain drought-resistant seeds and other technologies so fields and fisheries can thrive once again. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.